Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 2, and I'm just going to pick right up with verse number 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage.
Which verse?
23. Okay. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob.
Remember that God has already told Abraham what was going to occur hundreds of years before this. And the time's right. Israel's as a whole are crying out because they're under such forced labor, and God is hearing them, and he recognizes what's going on, and he knows about his covenant to Abraham. And so after hearing the groanings, he just knows his time. He knows what he's told Abraham. So he's going to keep his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And so God recognized who these people were. God knows you. But I think a lot of times that the ball's in our court, so to speak. As long as we just go with the flow, we can go with the flow. But when we've had enough, and we start crying out to God, then you see God stepping up and intervening. But now in his foreknowledge, God knew all this was going to occur. And so it's not like it's taken him by surprise. You understand? When it says God, you know, he remembered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his covenant with them, it's not that God had forgotten. You understand? What he remembered was what he already had spoken. 400 years, fourth generation. Well, this is the timing.
And God,
I jumped ahead one verse if you want to read it.
That's okay. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And then in chapter 3.
Yeah, go ahead.
This documents Moses' encounter with the burning bush, God selecting him to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, Moses' argument, God's signs to Moses, God's promise of land, and God's instruction to Moses. Now, I want just to give you just, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down, this test question that you'll see. Moses was called and commissioned by God to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. You're going to want to remember it's from Egypt. Now with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb.
So Moses has now become a shepherd, brought up in Pharaoh's house, you understand, all these years. And now for 40 years, he's been tending sheep. And so these sheep belong to his father-in-law. And so he goes on the backside of the pasture land, and as he goes back there with the sheep, he has an encounter with the Lord. It's actually, it says he came to Horeb, Mount Horeb. You'll find that Horeb and Sinai are used interchangeably. Now, there's people that would argue that they're two different places, but as we go along, you're going to find that God said to Moses, this is going to be a sign to you. After you deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, they're going to serve me on this mountain. Well, the mountain that he took them to, when you see the Exodus, is called Sinai. And so if you do your research, Sinai and Horeb are the same place, okay? But this is where Moses is at this particular time.
The other thing that we looked at this afternoon was Jethro.
Yeah. You see, previously, when Moses had fled Egypt, and his first encounter, he's called Ruel. Remember the daughters that Moses stood up against the shepherds and watered their flock for them, and then later on, he was given Sephora, the oldest daughter, to wife. Well, there it uses the name R-E-U-E-L, Ruel, and here we see Jethro. Now, there's different schools of thought on this, the different scholars. You look at it, and I've come to this conclusion that on none of them they. You understand? And all I'm going to do is just stay strictly with the scriptures, okay? That it appears that Ruel was another name for Jethro, or, you know, I'm called by two different names myself. And so it's not that strange a thing for someone to be called by two names. But when we get into here in Exodus, he's going by the name of Jethro. And then there's another place, it goes by Raguel, okay? And so we're not talking about him having three different father-in-laws. You follow me? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
So this is called an angel of the Lord. It just comes down and here in this bush, and this bush appears to be on fire, but it's not being consumed by the fire. Would that get your attention? I mean, if I just saw a bush burning in pasture land, I'd be thinking what's causing that bush to burn or whatever, you know. And so this was the case with Moses. He looks and he sees this bush on fire, not consumed.
And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt.
So Moses just said to himself, I'm going to go over here and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this thing burning and not consumed? This afternoon I was looking at this, some things just started dropping into me. First off, Moses had a choice to make. He could say, that bush is burning. I'm going to go on and take these sheep where I started to go in the first place. Or he could say, I'm going to investigate this and find out what's going on. This is a supernatural thing that's occurring. And I thought about that in the light of how God deals with people today, how something supernatural can occur, and some people just pass it off and keep on doing their thing or going their own way. But there are others that say, I'm going to investigate this. I want to see what's going on. These are the people that are going to hear from God. You with me? The people that just give it a glance and they go on their way, they're not going to hear from God. And so we have to make a choice. When we see something occurring, we can criticize it, or we can investigate it. Now, I was talking to Heather earlier. I said, you know, a real good example of this is the Holy Spirit and people speaking with tongues. There are some that hear it and immediately criticize it and reject it. There's others who hear it, they don't understand it, but they investigate. And they start searching this thing out. Is this real? Is this scriptural?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that's going to have that genuine experience with the Lord. The others will just put themselves up on the judge's bench and criticize what God's doing. Pretty amazing when you think about it.
And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I.
So it wasn't until Moses went over to look at the bush to see what's going on that the Lord spoke to him. God has to get our attention first. You understand? And some people, you just can't get their attention. You ever notice that? Well, think about God's dilemma, if I can say it that way. God's trying to get people's attention, and people don't want to pay attention to him. But here, God uses this event, gets Moses' attention. Moses goes over there, and God calls him by name, mm-hmm. Moses. And his response is, Here am I, I'm here.
And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Now, we were talking about this today. I don't know if you've ever just really had an encounter with the Lord where the presence of the Lord just fills the place or encompasses you. And the awesome effect it has on you. You want to see, but you dare not open your eyes. You understand? And so when Moses gets near to the bush after his response, the Lord said, Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You're in my presence. When you get into the presence of God, you're going to follow God's protocol. You're not going to get in the presence of God and just do your thing. You follow me? And so the first thing he has to do is respect God, which is lacking today among so many people. It bothers me that God is treated so irreverently and disrespectfully. And so God is making a demand here. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You're in my presence. When you're in God's presence, you're on holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't make some doctrine out of taking your shoes off. I mean, I've been in church services and they tell everybody to take their shoes off. I mean, if God tells you to take your shoes off, take them off. If man tells you to take your shoes off, don't pay him any attention. You follow me? Okay. Just make sure it's God doing it. Otherwise, we can just build these little old doctrines and traditions and all this thing and make it just some religious form that we go through.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
So the Lord identifies himself. Now I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hides his face. Look at God, I die. You understand? One night, I was just laying on the floor, and I was just talking to the Lord. I said, I just like to wrap my arms around you. I just felt the real closeness to the Lord, and all of a sudden, it's just like the presence of the Lord floods the room. And now I'm scared. You understand? who showed up? I don't have nerve. You know what I mean? So I can relate to what Moses is saying here. You know, man, I'm going to hide myself here. And then when that leaves, she's thinking, why didn't I look? Because she was too afraid to look. You get in the awesome presence of God, it'll have a dramatic effect, don't you? When you're aware that you're in the presence of God, if that doesn't strike awe in your heart, I don't know what will.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters.
So the Lord tells Moses, listen, I've heard the cry of the people. I know the oppression. I know what's going on in Egypt. They're crying out because of all this forced labor and their taskmasters. I know their distress. I'm not ignorant of it. Now, he's talking to a man who knows what he's talking about. You understand? Moses has been in there and seen firsthand the oppression that his people are experiencing. And that's why he had to leave Egypt anyway, because he was going to stand up for them.
Okay? Yeah. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites.
I want to go back to that previous verse we were looking at. How God is talking to Moses about the situation of the people, the Israelites, there in Egypt. And it's interesting to me that he is not using a novice or someone ignorant of, but God is talking to a man who has had experience. You with me? Too many people are trying to do things without experience. Too many preachers are, they're echoes, they're not voices. It's like a parrot. They're just saying what somebody else says. They've never had that genuine experience to where they can relate. You understand? If you're going to lead people out, you need to be able to relate. If you're going to lead people, you need to be able to relate. I'll get it out in a minute. You need to be able to relate to people. You with me? And so he's selected Moses. Moses can relate to them. He knows inside the palace, and he knows what's going on outside the palace. You understand? And so God's speaking to a man and sending a man back that has had an experience right there. He's not a stranger to things, okay? And so, yeah, go ahead.
The other thing I see in this, too, is that Moses has been away for some time. I don't know how long, but he's been away.
40 years.
40 years, that's right. I was going to say that, but I won't.
Yeah.
40 years. 40 years is a long time. But God is speaking to a man that he knows his heart. He knows that he had a heart for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's calling.
He's trying to do it in his power,
right,
to begin with. And I say this with ministers. Too many ministers are trying to do things in their power. We'll come up with a plan. We'll sit down and come up with a message. We'll do this. We'll do that. No, you've got to move in God's plan. Moses blew it trying to do it out of the flesh. You with me? Now he's going to have to do it out of the spirit. And now you're going to see he's finding that he's inadequate. Go ahead, Diane. I interrupted you.
No. I was just thinking how important it is this man's heart is for his people. Because you know the hardship that he went through leading these people. We're not going to believe what you say. Who gave you the authority? We know just as much. We'll read all that later too. This is a man that loved his people, obviously.
Absolutely. I mean, he's already stood up for him and killed an Egyptian. Yeah, he cared about his people.
Yeah.
So when we look at this, where the Lord has spoken to him, and the Lord tells him, "Now I've come down to deliver the descendants of Israel." Now it's interesting. The Lord says, "I have." A lot of times we think we're to do it on our own, but no, the Lord's there with us to lead us in the way it's supposed to be done. And he says he's come down, he's going to take them out of the land of Egypt. And he says he's going to take them to a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, this is an idiom. It's not literally flowing with milk and honey. And he tells him, you know, where the Canaanites are, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites. Now, this phrase is actually conveying a very positive message, a land flowing with milk and honey. It means that it's taking them to a place that's going to completely satisfy their need. I'm going to take you out of a hardship, and I'm going to take you into a place where you will be comfortable, all your needs will be met.
Verse 9. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou might bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt."
And here God's just reiterating the fact that he sees the oppression of the people. Alright? I see it. I want you to do something about it. He's already said, "I will lead them out." Now I need a representative. I need someone that I can work through. And this is the way God works. God works through people. But God needs people who will follow his lead, not do their own thing. You understand? Being led by the Spirit, not saying, "I'm going to do this. Come on over here, God, and put your stamp of approval on." That's not the way it works. One way, you think you've got the plan. The other way, you think that way you think you're adequate for the job. The man adequate for the job is the one who feels inadequate. You understand? And so when God starts dealing with Moses, "All right, I want you to go to Egypt and lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt." Whoa. I don't think I want to do that. Better keep reading. I'm ahead of it.
But before I do, if you don't mind, we've read now at least twice that God says, I see what's happening to my people. I don't want to just read over that, because to me that's an encouraging word for us too. He sees what's happening to us. You know, it may look like the persecution or the things that are going on. It doesn't matter. I don't believe that there's anything that God is not aware of. We don't always understand his timing of things, but you know what? His thoughts are not our thoughts. Why? They're higher. And so let that be an encouraging word for you this evening. If the same God that knows the number of hairs on your head, who knows your name, you surely, he knows exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, you think about it. God used Joseph, who went through some extreme circumstances, to save the people Jacob's descendants from dying, from the famine. And so it said, but good's going to come out of it. The key is we have to submit ourselves to the Lord, trusting that God is smarter than we are, and that if we'll stay in step with Him, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through hard places. Mm-hmm. It means you're going to go through. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Keep your focus on through, not hard. You follow me?
Yeah.
We've been through some hard places. But God's been faithful. God never left me. But so often when you're going through this, people get mad at God. Now, I've had people that come to me and say, why is God doing this? You know, why is this? And I just say, why not? What makes you better than somebody else? You understand? And the bottom line is, it's not God doing the things. God, if you're going to take enemy territory, do you know you have to go into it?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to win a war, do you know you have to fight?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know if you fight, there is resistance, there's opponents, and there's some wounds, and there's some damage along the way? But you look on the other side of what it's producing. And you never have a surrender attitude. You always have a victorious attitude. We will win this. You following?
Mm-hmm.
Now look at what Israel's going through right now.
Yeah.
They're losing some people along the way. But it's a price to pay in order to get the victory. If you're going to put the enemy under your foot, then you're going to have to face the enemy head on. You don't win the victory running from the enemy. You have to face him. Moses is going to have to go back and face the thing he ran from. Although Pharaoh's dead, you know, that sought to take his life. But now he's got a job to do. He was premature in trying to do it before. Now it's the timing of God.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I can relate to this. I know when I was working secular work, and there toward the end, about a year or so before we went into ministry, I had this anticipation that was going to happen. And we're teaching two Bible studies a week and Sunday school and all this kind of stuff, and I'm thinking, let's go. You're like a racehorse trying to get out of the gate or something. You know, God needs me. You know, don't deprive the people, right? You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you just want to get out. And then when God says it's time to leave, it's amazing how I changed. Now, I'm not sure about this one. You understand? I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And he says you're going to interim pastor, and I'm saying I don't know how. Before you think you know something, but when you have that encounter with God, all of a sudden you realize, like Agar, I am the most stupid of all men. And if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. But here's the thing. That's the people God wants. Because when you realize, I can't do it, that's when God says, I need you because I can do it through you. You'll be out of my way. When you realize you can't, you'll have to depend upon me. But as long as you think you can, you'll be dependent upon yourself.
Yeah.
Moses had to get to the place to where he realized, I'm inadequate. Now, you need to be picking somebody else besides me. And that's, I've experienced that. You understand? But then I've seen what the Lord has done. Because I didn't know how to do things, He could do things. Because when you're in a panic mode, you're going to follow His lead. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what to do. Help! And you get a prompting and you go with the prompting. Okay?
That's more profound than you think. Okay. Where am I? 11? And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?
So God tells Moses, I've heard the cry. I'm going to send you. You bring these descendants out. They're my people. I want you to bring them out of Egypt. And Moses says, Who am I?
Yeah.
Every one of us needs to get to that point in our life that we start asking, who am I to do this great task that God wants? You want me to go to Pharaoh and bring the descendants of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I to be talking to the leadership and say, let these people go? You with me?
That's going to be a test question that y'all are going to have. Moses did not immediately accept God's call and commission. You know, I read that part of the question, and the first thing I thought was Jesus himself told us, count the cost. Know what you're accepting. And the rest of that question, when God told Moses that he wanted what he wanted him to do, Moses replied, and this is what you're going to have to know, who am I? And the rest of the question, that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Yeah, I was thinking, when the Lord spoke to me about tunnels for World Outreach Center, I don't want to. I mean, I'd be perfectly honest with you, and I'm very honest with God. I said, I don't want to. I will if I have to, but I don't want to. You follow me? I don't want to miss you, but I promise you that this is not what I would choose to do. But it's amazing how God touches your heart, and the grace of God will enable you to do what you're not necessarily wanting to do or think you can do. You follow me? It's God's grace. God's grace takes us through that. And so when the Lord's talking to Moses here, He's assuring him, I'm going to be with you. You have to realize God's not going to hang you out to dry. If God tells you to do something, where is God? Is He not living in you?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not doing that alone. He's with you every step of the way. But what He'll let you do is get experience along the way to where you realize you need God. You understand? You'll go through situations, you'll go through circumstances, and you'll realize, I'm not that smart. I don't know how. You think about it. We're talking about a people, a nation. You're telling me to take a nation out of a nation. Now think about the leadership of a nation, like a president, a prime minister, a king. You think about that leader. You can say, boy, I'd like to be the president. Well, that ought to scare the socks off of you, because who knows how to be? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that think they know how to be prove they don't know how. For the most part. You understand? And so God wants us to a point to where we're dependent upon Him, yet He wants us to realize, I'm with you. I'm with you. You just do this. You let me tell you what to do, and you follow my directions, and we're going to be okay. We'll be okay. We're going to get these people out of here. I need you, but you need me. You understand? Whatever God's called you to do, He needs you. But don't ever think you don't need Him. Because if we're going to get the job done that God's wanting us to do, then it's going to be a cooperative effort. Not Him doing it for you, not you doing it for Him, but you working together and getting the job done. Amen?
Even Paul said, when I am weak, I am strong.
Mm-hmm. So we'll stop and take a break. We'll pick back up with this after.
Okay.